Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because, well, we have with us on the line our special guest, Tal Brook, from the Spiritual Counterfeits Project. Before we get to that, though, I just want to point out there are a lot of uncertain things going on in the world today. Everybody's been very, very concerned about the North Korean missiles and the fact that they, have developed a very highly sophisticated missile technology. Apparently, they have nuclear technology and of course, there's always the possibility they might launch an attack on the United States or Japan. But nobody ever wants to point out that we are, very quietly, helping to build a nuclear power plant or several nuclear power plants for the corrupt, ruthless, dictatorial, brutal regime in North Korea. And furthermore, until very, very recently, we have provided massive food supplies over a period of decades to keep the ruthless government in power, always in the name of humanitarian aid, but it doesn't go to the people. It goes to keep the ruler of North Korea in power. Now, how many people out there honestly believe a country that can't even feed its own people could come up with a sophisticated technology to create intercontinental ballistic missiles that can be targeted, accurately? Where does North Korea get their technology? They get it from Communist China. And where does Communist China get their technology from? From the United States. We're doing everything we can to build up Communist China, which is keeping the North Korean dictatorship in power. And we have to ask ourselves why. Recently, in Somalia, why the Al-Qaeda terrorists overcame the warlords that we were backing. Of course, just a few years ago, we were opposing the warlords, and then we were backing the warlords. But nobody ever asked, where did Al-Qaeda get the money to launch a major war in Somalia so they could defeat the warlords that we were backing? And who is it who's funding the resistance in Iraq today? And why is it that when there are over 50 terrorist training camps in Pakistan, we're still funding massive amounts of money, into Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia is still funding the Islamic terrorist movement throughout the world, and we're backing Saudi Arabia? And I'd like to suggest that nothing is as it appears to be. And with that as the background, our special guest this evening and good friend, Tal Brook. Hi, Tal. How are we doing?
Oh, you're blasting people's skulls already. I mean, you remember, and this is was a rude awakening for me in making the same point you're making. When Anthony Sutton, who had been connected to Stanford's Hoover Institute, did books like Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution and the War on Gold, and he went on and on. And what we saw, whether it was money being wired to help the Bolshevik Revolution from New York, or you think, my gosh, he's talking about our propping up our enemies but not letting the American people know about this. Now what could be going on here? And Sutton, I can hear the music in the background, and we'll get to this, but why in the world are you propping up your enemies, and well is your reason?
Well, let me mention, I do have a wonderful interview I did with Professor Sutton before he died. It's right. Called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, pointing out that we backed the Chinese communists, brought them to power, we financed the Russian communists, and we even financed the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War.
Well, there's a reason for it.
All right. Well, you picked that story up. What is the reason?
Well, the reason is for us to justify this sort of huge outlay of defense material on our end. we always need an enemy. I mean, you remember when Nikita Khrushchev was in the UN and he was banging the podium with his shoe. And it panicked everybody. And the real game of world order is that you have a number of so-called opposites in this Hegelian synthesis. And one day, bingo, seeming enemies are now part of a superstate. And that's something, of course, Carol Quigley talked about in Tragedy and Hope, his big magnum opus. I mean, I knew people at Georgetown University who had studied under him, and of course Bill Clinton did. And so there is a really strong delusion going on the geopolitical platform, and they're heading, I mean, unless a miracle happens with the public kind of looking the other way and being misdirected and not believing there could be this sort of treachery in high places. And we'll get to the generals who were, recently voicing their concern about Iraq, and I know you know who I'm talking about, but basically, there are some gigantic changes happening subsurface on this planet. And when a lot of these leaders meet at the Bilderberger Convention, as they did recently, as you well know, they're charting out, the best direction to kind of meld the world together. I mean, I think the ultimate vision that Quigley talked about was a global feudalistic state. And then the simple man on the street at this point has no appeal to the Constitution. And we're almost at that point now with the Patriot Act. I mean, we're just about there anyway. But the changes have been just alarmingly fast.
And I certainly agree with you. I think it's so vitally important for our listeners to understand that there is an elite that runs the world. And we go to the polls at every 2 or 4 years and vote for the candidate of their choice. And in most instances, it really doesn't matter which candidate wins, their man does. And occasionally they'll leave some good people in office, like Congressman Ron Paul. They don't even bother to run anyone against him. Why? Because they want somebody there who will say the right things, so we'll hear the right things, so we will feel, well, gee, maybe something can be done. But they do not intend to give us an opportunity ever again to regain freedom, because they have a different view, a different world vision. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Tal Brook of the Spiritual Counterfeit Project. And those of you who don't know Tal, he came from a diplomatic family. He traveled throughout the world. Wasn't it Princeton you went to, Tal?
Yes.
And, of course, seeking enlightenment and a full understanding of what the world was about, he became involved with LSD and drugs and went off to India and became one of the chief disciples of Sai Baba, being trained to come back to America to reform the people here in this country and bring them to the true faith, the true Indian faith, until he met the Lord one evening. And well, that's another story, and if you've never read his Avatar of Night book, which we carry, we think it's a very important book. But Tal now, certainly with the Spiritual Counterfeit Project, is leading this effort to try to awaken the American people, not only to what is happening politically, but what is happening spiritually, and the spiritual forces which are behind the political and cultural and ideological issues that we see today. So you pick up the story there, Tal.
Yeah, well, I mean, and we've talked about this before. I think in my own awakening, I had a number of awakenings, but after my conversion in India, the whole pattern of I guess reality in the world system took on a different configuration. And the more I probed into the Bible, the more it just seemed that world order, the first run in building the Tower of Babel that God stopped sort of mid-track would be allowed to happen in judgment. And of course, that's what my book One World is about, the countless forces that are pushing us in that direction. And we both mentioned Anthony Sutton as being one of the people, but we're at a point now. I mean, I like you must get, I don't know how many emails a day, with different things slipping out, you know, in the present regime. I mean, you know, and I know that when Clinton was done, we saw him as such a colossal stain on the dignity of the presidency. And here's this guy who was virtually a sociopathic liar, and I thought, we can't do worse, right? So suddenly we're presented with, well, it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck. It seems to be conservative. It's a little dumbed down. We're going to believe its simpleness is a virtue and not a handicap. And now, in retrospect, we have a president who should never have risen higher than running a 7-Eleven or a Sears outlet, who's been caught lying again and again, and we're thinking, how do we configure this sort of conservative or neocon really talk in the fact that he's doing things that just are hard to explain, you know? And I don't know if you saw the video by Loose Change on 9-11 by these two 22-year-olds who, you know, use cutting digital technology to ask all the unanswered questions about the Twin Towers. But the deeper you look into the intrigue, you think, my gosh, this country is being ripped off like never before. And certainly, when they believe in it, I've never lied to you. They believe into this guy, and then you just see one constitutional freedom after another just dismantled under this poker game. Well, we'll protect you, but you've got to give up your freedoms. And it's really a cross between Orwell and Aldous Huxley. And I think some people are getting alarmed. That here's the reality. America's been co-opted. The designers in the think tank certainly found a guy who looked like average Mr. America. He can barely form a coherent sentence. And he seems to be a family man and all that. Now and then he'll come out and say, well, I'm against homosexual marriage. But the reality is that underneath, there has been so much, and you're a medical doctor. It's been, so let me use the metaphor, it's been like a vast aneurysm in the brain of America. And I think you, being an MD, will appreciate that. And so now, every day, you just scratch your head and you're alarmed at new odd developments. I mean, look, this was interesting when the Supreme Court, the new one, of course, basically suggested that, well, and this is the LA Times, by the way, and it's a Rosa Brooks article, that they basically kind of depict Bush as committing war crimes. And then you learn that in Hamden versus Rumsfeld, some of these guys could spend a long time in jail, including Rumsfeld and the VP, and well, if they pushed it, the guy in the White House. And then you think of the humiliation in Abu Ghraib and the strange torture cells in Europe, and then inventing the whole reason to go into Iraq with this so-called uranium load, and that whole thing between Tony Blair and Bush was manufactured to go into the war. And here's the shocker. They're doing the same thing all over again after they've got egg all over their faces. With Iran, are we ready for another war? We've emptied the treasury of America. You're going to have Bill Bernanke, who's going to be printing bills, you know, and dropping them from helicopters is the joke. You just hyperinflate the currency. You pay it off for that. And at some point, unless there's a miracle, I think we're going to see what we once thought of as America crumble into something else.
Well, you know, the incredible things that are going on today, it almost appears that the people in charge of our monetary system are intent upon destroying it. We're
That's
the most
right.
powerful nation in the world today, and yet, of course, we're the largest debtor nation in the world. At
yep.
one time, we were the largest creditor nation, and now we're having to borrow between $2.5 and $3 billion every single day just to pay our debts, and that really
we'll never be able to
sense.
Pay it.
Why would you put yourself in a position like that? And you know, certainly, why would you, you know, be doing everything you could to increase trade with communist China, a ruthless, tyrannical regime? And you know, and certainly, Russia is doing very well today. They have a positive balance of payments. America has a negative balance of payments. We're paying.
Well, you know, we got to remember that China owns at this point a vast level of our debt, the whole bond situation, which if they liquidate, they could really blow us away. I know people going to China who hope, and I believe this could be true, that God could be doing something in that population, because they're having a lot of conversions, and one of my China expert friends sees them maybe, and we hope this is true, leaving the whole communist paradigm for something else. But what we do know is that when our country forbids a valedictorian and they turn off her microphone the minute she mentions the name of Christ, forget worrying about China. We've already gone over the edge.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think what people miss is they look at all the inconsistencies of what's going on,
yeah,
and all the contradictions and all the paradoxes. They miss the fact that this is really a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural,
yeah,
battlefield.
Yeah, I mean, I, like you, look for watermarks. And this girl, and you saw her on TV, I'm sure you did. She went to Foothill High School. I think Brittany McComb is her name. And she was given the valedictory address, and she mentioned Christ, and her microphone went dead. And the people kind of booed and screamed. And, I mean, this would have been unthinkable 50 years ago. And then the fact that her speeches later, you know, the ACLU go over it, the district legal counsel, and they basically said, yeah, you did the right thing by cutting her microphone. And so you see the whole basis of what was once America being undermined at the critical Christian level. So all of a sudden, Alan Lichtenstein, general counsel for the ACLU of Nevada, basically makes his own ruling on cutting off McComb's speech, and he says, well, you did the right thing. America has been co-opted. It's been taken over. And a lot of people just don't want to look at this. And I think that the valedictory speech at Foothill High by Brittany McComb is one of the many, and there are lots of these water levels that I look at every day, frankly. And when that happened, I just saved it. And I just thought, wow, you know, I mean, why even protect America at this point where we're going? I mean, look, what did we have just a few weeks ago? The gay pride parade in our neighborhood, you and me, Stanley?
Right.
I mean, I'm telling you. And you know, you can see the footage on TV, and the crowds were off the chart, and basically what's really happening is they're giving God the finger. They're just saying, you know something, you can't stop us. We're going to change the country. We're going to redefine gender. We're going to redefine marriage. And yet what I'm talking about here, and then the valedictory address, these are only two elements in America's deconstruction. And I can hear that music again.
Right. Well, it's an old adage between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity. There's an infinite quality of difference. And certainly the enemies of God have a plan, and they're in complete and working control of this country. And the only question is, what are the good people going to do? Because we're the vast majority.
A lot of them are just either dumbed down or they're hiding their heads as deeply in the sand as they can.
Well, I think the big problem is, Tal, there is no good leadership.
Well, that's true. And I want to get, actually, when we get back, let's talk about leadership for a bit.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with our good friend Tal Brook of Spiritual Counterfeits Project, and talking about where is the leadership in America. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our friend Tal Brook is here, and asked the question about the leadership in America, and why there's nobody speaking out against what's going on in this country, at least effectively speaking out. Everybody knows something's wrong, but why is nothing being done to try to preserve our Christian heritage? So pick the story up.
Well, I think it's the big control factor, and as you know, my real book, and it is being begun to sell a lot on Amazon, the book One World, which deals, well, I think the reason people are reading it is they know that they're not getting told the truth by our own government. They see things sliding, and they think, is there a pattern to this? And, of course, my book, One World, goes in depth into the different facets of building the new Babylonian temple of the globe, the global world order. And so it fills in a lot of these things. Now here's, alright, so in America now, and I've thought of this, I mean it was certainly true in the last election, we had Tweedledum and Tweedledee running for president, and unless a miracle happens, no, what I call noble visionary is ever going to be allowed in the office. It's going to be, I mean, I dread the day Hillary, and let's pray she never gets in there. But the choice is terrible on both sides. And, I mean, Kerry, represents, like Ted Kennedy, the jaded, old, corrupted, inside politician boys club. They're no different from the Republicans they can't stand. I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, never has there been more corruption in America. I mean, I'm trying to remember the senator who basically said, what was his name? He basically said we're more corrupt than ever before.
How long ago was this?
Recently. Give me a second.
Right. Well, there's no question, Nicole, that there is this total corruption at all. And, of course, we've got, I can only think a couple of senators that really are worthwhile. One of them would be Tom Coburn, who we almost never hear about. But
yeah, okay, right. That's a good point. Actually, believe it or not, it was Harry Reid, who I'm not a super fan of, but he's right on this count. He calls this Congress the most corrupt in history.
Is that the Senator Reid of Nevada?
Yes.
Okay. And
and then, of course, right. Ron Paul uses the term police state. So of course, they're addressing Bush's plea for unrivaled power at this point. So we go back to the last election, and this has become the conundrum of every election I can remember since Reagan, frankly. And I mean, people would argue that Reagan was somewhat of a useful idiot for an inside group. But I guess the hope now is who will do less danger, who will at least to some level be a steward of the country they're elected to represent. And it's more of a fear thing of someone getting in there and then breaking things up with a baseball bat. At this point, there's no one that I know. I mean, sure, Ron Paul, but then you think, okay, they're unwinnable.
Oh, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Our guest this evening is Tal Brook. And we're talking about the one-party system we have. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Tal Brook, from Spiritual Counterfeits Project, and a little later we'll tell you how to get in touch with his ministry and get the excellent material they put out. But, of course, Tal was saying, you know, who could we have to lead our country? And Ron Paul, well, let me tell you, a few years ago I belonged to a small group that was looking for presidential candidates, and the man who led the group was Howard Phillips. And he had contacted the people who worked very close with Ron Paul from the Libertarian group, and they said, we're not going to let Ron Paul run for the presidency. And, of course, Howard Phillips said, why not? And they said simply because if it looked like he was going to win, they would kill him. And we
Boy, that gives the game away.
And they weren't joking at all. In America today, if you are effective in exposing the really what I believe is a Luciferian force working behind the scenes, mm-hmm. in both political parties, they will kill you, or they will discredit you, or they will do something to destroy you. And the people who were handling Ron Paul from the libertarian movement said, we're not going to let him run for the presidency. We don't want to have him killed. Could that really happen in America? And you only need to look and see what's going on today. And that I believe that not only could happen, I believe they're probably absolutely right, it would happen. Remember what happened to Governor Wallace when he wanted to try to do something, whether you like him or not, whether you think he was a racist or not. They set out to kill him because he was challenged in the establishment.
Yeah, that's right. And I fully believe, again, you and I have talked about, there's another analogy that's very useful for us, and that is the shocking movie called Eyes Wide Shut that Stanley Kubrick did in depicting the power elites and what they're really like. And it's a ruthless game, and the public just is not aware of the level of intrigue involved. And yes, they can make it look like an accident.
Or they can have a patsy set up like Lee Harvey Oswald, who immediately gets shot by Jack Ruby, who immediately dies of cancer.
Right.
And then, of course, you can have Saran, a gun down, Bobby Kennedy standing in front of him, but all the shots came from behind. That was the problem. If you've ever read the autopsy report, the shots came from behind, and Saran was standing in front. And then, of course, the strange death of Martin Luther King. And even Martin Luther King's family never believed that James Earl Ray was the assassin.
That's correct.
But the American people were never allowed to know that.
Yeah, and that sort of, well, let's go back to who controls the news. They're media conglomerates, and there are certain things that are not allowed in the news. I mean, frankly, the report by the Harvard Kennedy School of Government, Mearsheimer and his friend at University of Chicago, the moment they began to expose the Israeli lobby, they've been shut down ever since that moment. I mean, this is a Harvard paper, 80 pages long, I believe. I've read a good bit of it, and people could only see it on an English website, that it even existed. And so there's a lot of levels of intrigue, and there are different players playing Monopoly here. But the reality is, I mean, we have to go back to Kubrick's film Eyes Wide Shut, and yes, all you need to do is sit in that film of what Kubrick depicted as their kind of, well, satanic ceremony in hoods and organ music and human sacrifice. And golly, does that look like the kind of Christian foundation that started America? I don't think so, do you?
In fact, we actually are carrying Alex Jones' film on the Bohemian Grove.
Right.
And there you'll actually see the pictures of the nation's leaders dressed in their black robes and their hoods. And then, of course, we know that they did very, very similar things in other organizations.
Yeah.
The book we carry on the Skull and Bones, and a woman who actually was hiding in a barn when the members of Skull and Bones, incidentally, both John Kerry and George Bush came from Skull and Bones, but when they had this Skull and Bones wedding ceremony, and there they are dressed in their black hoods and their black robes, you know, and of course we carry the book, The Secrets of the Tomb, by Alexander Robbins. There really are people who wear black hoods and black robes and carry out occult ceremonies right here in America, and the fact that most people have never heard of it simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think.
In fact, they're going to meet pretty soon on Deer Island, I believe.
Oh, you're speaking of Skull and Bones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, there really are secret societies. Bohemian Grove is a secret society. You can't get in there, but you risk your life when you do. And, of course, the Skull and Bones. They take in 15 people every year. And these people really control our country. They control the Council on Foreign Relations. Who are they? Well, you can get their names, but of course, what they've really are up to, well, only the devil knows that. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Tal Brook of the Spiritual Counterfeits Project, and we're talking about the occult influence and the secret societies that really do exist in America. We've just named two of them. One would be Skull and Bones, the other would be the Bohemian Grove out of San Francisco, but there are literally probably a dozen or more organizations that we could readily name, and many that you're very seldom going to hear of. But they all have a common denominator. They want a one world government and a new world religion. And there's an intense hatred of Christianity and conventional Judaism there, and they would supplant it with the worship of another god. Go ahead, Tal.
Yeah, well, there's so many, of course, levels of this. And of course, I mean, one of the groups, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, is the Bilderbergers that I think they just met in Ottawa, Canada.
Right.
And then all you have to do is see who shows up in limos, and it's all the big power players. And, yep, of course, this is not the only group, but then if you do a graph of where certain people, and one of them used to be George Shultz, he's kind of backed away, but if you can at least triangulate them with the Trilateral group and then the CFR and the Bilderbergers, then you've got a pretty hot item there. That's someone who's a power player. But I think a lot of the shadow elite, you're not going to hear their names. And I think that was one of the points that Kubrick made in the film. Some of these people you will have never heard about. You won't know who they are. And that's another disturbing thing, because people are voting like they vote for brands. I'm going for Corn Flakes above Rice Krispies. And a lot of, on the exterior level of outward symbol, it's a battle of the brands. I wish we could see who they served. You have a sudden spotlight, whether it's Kerry or someone else, and you look behind them. And by the way, I found out a year ago that McCain's wife's dad is a big mafia figure. Did you know that?
No, I really didn't. I'd never heard that before, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, John McCain's father-in-law has very strong mafia connections, is what I heard. So what it means is he's compromised. That's what I'm saying. All these guys that run are compromised. They've got to be by the insiders, which means that they've got to have dirt on these people.
Amen. Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Tal Brook from Spiritual Counterfeits Project. Well, Dan, I guess it's Tal Brook. Tal, before we go on,
yeah,
I want you to get your website out, your telephone number, so people can get acquainted,
sure,
with your ministry.
Yeah, yeah. It's the phone number, and of course we're down right now. 1-0-540-0300. The webpage is www.scp-inc for Inc. and then .org for organization. And so, yeah, we have, Lee Penn's book is up there, as you well know. You've had Lee on there about the United Religions Initiative. We've got, and I know, Stanley, you get them, but one of the hot things we've got in there deals with Opus Dei and the connection with the whole Da Vinci Code sort of thing that's going around. And then, of course, we carry One World, which you do, my overview book that a lot of people have kind of, well, it's opened their eyes. Well, you've read it. You know what I mean.
It's a great book. In fact, the first edition came out when the world was, what did you say, well over 100,000 copies of that, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And then you've updated it, and it's lengthened it. And it really goes into the whole background. There is an organized, orchestrated effort
yeah.
on the part of all of these people to bring about a one-world government, yeah. one-world ruler. And what does that sound like from a biblical or spiritual point of view?
Well, it sounds like what the apostles warned about 2 millennia back, that someday the man of sin would appear and enormous. And then, of course, there are all these sort of descriptions of the era of Antichrist and the beast system, you know, and there are just lots of different pieces to this puzzle, frankly.
And, of course, we're told in Second Thessalonians,
yep,
that, you know, the man of sin will not be exposed, and that is both speaking of the Antichrist, until there's a great falling away. And
yep,
that is what this is happening today, yep, I believe.
I think it is, too.
I believe we're seeing a great falling away from,
yep,
the faith.
You know, whether you're looking at seeing this girl shut down in her valedictory address, where they turn off the mic, or you see all the new moral barriers being broken down on one television sitcom after another, or you're watching the movies, and you have to just say, you know, this has changed, this falling away process has changed very quickly. I mean, what to me, a recent one, is what they do. They get a woman bishop, head of the church, and she has prayers to Mother Jesus, and then says, well, I pronounce basically homosexuality is to be normal and not a sin.
Yeah, well, sometimes the world has gone crazy, and other times I'm absolutely certain of it.
Well, yeah, I think that's, I mean, to me, I just look at milestones. Every day there's something going on. I don't have time. I should make a long list of them. But, I mean, basically to have this heading up the Episcopalian Church, it would have been unthinkable to have her there a century ago. And it's not progress because she's having prayers to Mother Jesus. You know? And she's a switcher. I mean, you know, she goes along with the whole of the neo-pagan agenda, and she goes along, that's what I've heard, and she goes along with the whole gay agenda.
And of course, she would be elected is because there must be a number of people within the hierarchy, yes, of the Episcopalian Church who agree with her, but
yep,
it's not just the Episcopalian Church. They've infiltrated
everything,
every aspect of
Christianity. She's just another milestone.
Right.
That's all she is. And she may last for we don't know how long, or something else could happen, but it's a milestone, you know. It's like when they had, was it Bishop Robinson or something, the homosexual bishop that they elected a few years ago. He was upfront about it and practicing. So there are these milestones. There are all kinds of them.
But, you know, I'm often reminded of what Thomas Jefferson said about, you know, God who gave us life gave us liberty, but can liberty of a nation be secure when they can? That liberty is the gift of God, and I tremble for mm-hmm. my country when mm-hmm. I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever.
Yeah.
And one of these days, whether the liberals like it or not, or
yep.
whether the conservatives like it or not, he always has, and he's going to again.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing this, the bumper sticker said, the Lord's coming back soon, and in smaller letters below, and boy, is he mad. And I really believe that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, I think there's much to it, because I think that what we're seeing American hubris on the political stage right now, where we have this dimwit bullying the other nations, and, you know, with wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and now Iran, and he's talking about Korea. This is a real here. And meanwhile, it's a country that has abandoned God, and so the real, like a Greek tragedy where hubris causes the great fall, this big over, you know, could be downsized so quickly that we have third world status, and these poor people that are using paper dollars may learn one day they're worth almost nothing. Welfare is not going to take care of them, and they're going to be out there like in the night. Welfare lines, a lot of these people who sort of mocked away as our values were mocked, you know, on David Letterman or you know, Howard Stern or a million other programs. And someday it's going to come back and kill. They will have no appeal. They'll have no dignity. They will have no money. They will have nothing.
In fact, I think that, you know, an awful lot of the people who are buying these big expensive homes now, they can't afford with nothing down and no interest for 2 years.
And you know the predictions there?
Right. And it's only a matter of time. I don't know whether it's going to be sooner or later or with a bang.
We don't know when, no.
But this whole thing is going to fall apart, and that's exactly what Paul Volcker said last year, I believe. last year in an article in the Washington Post. And he said, I don't know what it's going to be with a bang or a whimper. I don't know what it's going to be sooner or later. But I believe it's going to be a financial collapse, most probably. And, of course, it's going to come with disastrous results.
And this is the former, you know, head of the Federal Reserve, the former chairman who was there before Greenspan. So we can't just, you know, laugh him off like some kook in a basement wearing a tinfoil hat.
Well, he also came from the Trilateral Commission.
Yeah. Now, he's an insider, but he's also, he's doing the insider job. And I mean, another aspect of this whole thing is you warn him ahead of time. You feed him the inevitable.
And of course, what I love to do is point out the logo, and you can find it on their website at trilateral.org, and go there and look it up. It's a circle made of three sixes joined together by an upside-down broken cross. Gee, isn't that a coincidence?
Boy, isn't that a coincidence?
Why they would have selected the logo.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, another principle is that there at some point is a crossover period between the agenda of the insiders heretofore hidden, and then there's a coming out party where they no longer have to hide it, and part of it is tenderizing the mass mind. And we're getting very clear to the coming out party. I mean, it could be very, very near. I mean, with all the strange things going on.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I don't know whether it's going to be a financial collapse or.
Well, I think it's going to be all of it. I mean, we look at this Rubik's Cube, and there, and then I point this out in my book, One World. Look, there's a religious aspect to this whole thing. There's a military thing. There's an area dealing with global taxation and money. Then obviously there's the whole money part of it, the financial thing. It's probably, and that may end up being the biggest engine in this whole transition. Then you see things in the social marketplace and academia. Let's call it multiculturalism and political correctness. And suddenly on all the top campuses, they're all kind of handcuffed in what they can say and do through this sort of agreed upon politically correct atmosphere. So there's that. Then there's marriage, and then there's gender roles. That's a hideous little area where they're allowing movies that are going to do nothing other than corrupt kids that see them. I've seen an ad for one recently, and it's a shocker. It could not have come out. We're talking about the coming out. This thing could have not have come out 10 years ago, because people would have just been blown away. Now they're more jaded, they're more, the edge is being rubbed away. So this homosexual movie, and I've seen ads for it, but it'll come out. I remember the name. And things even worse than it, you know, are going to come out. So we have that side to it. Then we have the drug side to it. The whole change, and you know as well as I do, the pharmakia word. And then you and I think of big pharma, and you having been a medical doctor for so long, all you need to do is look at the AMA journal, JAMA, and what do you, half of it are big pharmaceutical ads. See, there, big money in pathology, not in curing it, but making sure that you stay sick. And then you look at socialized medicine going that way. Oh, there's so many aspects to this thing. I mean, we have in the past, an hour on the messages of movies.
Yes, and I'm afraid that most of those messages are aimed at corrupting the morality and destroying the faith of our people.
That's right. That's exactly, but the party.
Right.
That's exactly right.
But I think, you know, it is, when you talk about what's going on, Tal, and you point out all of these things, people say no conspiracy could be that vast, you know. It just couldn't be. And I simply point out, but there is a conspiracy against God.
Yeah.
And at that point, it all begins to make sense. Yes, there's a conspiracy against God.
Yeah.
It's been described down through the ages. And your strong concordance, you can look up the word conspiracy, and you'll find 30 references to the word. associated words.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people that have agreed to play Monopoly together, and they come from different groups and traditions and backgrounds, and that's why the thing is so compelling.
And, you know,
it's the momentum of force of this agenda, if you will. And the genius of it is that the different aspects we've been talking about end up holding hand. They're like RNA, messenger RNA passing on the message, and there's a higher sort of cybernetic going on where these people are in the witch's circle and they're holding hands. And they may say they worship different gods, but in the end, you know, Lucifer takes off his mask. And that's true of the Masons.
And that's really the common denominator behind this. This is all a spiritual battle, and there are powerful spiritual forces that are energizing all these movements that are converging and intent upon destroying this country.
Yeah, it's an anti-God thing.
Right.
And the thing is, now here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. Well, what do you mean they're all knowledgeable Luciferians? Or no, here's the point. No. They don't necessarily know. What I'm saying and what you're saying is, by biblical definition, whether they know it or not, they've joined up with the dark side. Whether they know it or not. And sometimes it's just ambition. It's that old scene where the guys, you know, it's the old thing of selling your soul to the devil. So you would like us to, I don't know how many movies have got this from Wall Street on out, we'll give you, just do what we tell you to do, and we're going to give you the rewards. I mean, the most powerful film I've seen on that you cannot get, and I got a bootleg copy of it, is The Brotherhood of the Bell.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
With Glenn Ford, sure.
Glenn Ford, and frankly, he did a very compelling job.
Right.
And I think that shows the dynamic of a lot of people, and you see them in Masonry, you see them in a lot of organizations. They want to get ahead, they want security, they want money, they want prestige, they want to be able to be invited to the white tie dinners, and they're willing to kind of pay the price. And then they learn later, it's, you know, they were serving, it's like Dylan's song, you gotta serve someone, they were serving the wrong master. And they can say, well, I wasn't a blatant Luciferian, I was just a good, no, but by your actions, you'd already joined up sides. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if any of our listeners want to know where they can get that, we don't carry it, but there is a minister in Michigan, I believe, or Illinois, who actually carries that. And
carries what now?
Brotherhood of the Bell. Rick Strawcutter, Pastor Rick Strawcutter. Anybody wants to, we'll be glad to get you his telephone number.
So you can actually find it. There's actually a group, believe it or not, that they're in the business. If you do a Google search on Brotherhood of the Bell, maybe eight levels down, you're going to find this is a legitimate movie copying thing they do. Apparently, and I've got to do this, I haven't had the time, but they will sell as high a resolution copy as you can get. I've had the video that's been around, that's a copy of a copy, but apparently they've got the original footage, and I think they can show you a DVD.
Great. Well, it's a great story. Because
that's a really good one.
Right, and I think it's a beautiful depiction of exactly what's going on today. Of course, they're not talking necessarily about the spiritual aspect of it, but you know, behind the scenes, you know very well that there have to be truly Luciferian forces manipulating this whole thing.
Well, I mean, you know that some of the propositions are the same in Skull and Bones. They go to Yale, and I mean, we're talking about the innocents, not the multi-generational Bush family. I mean, the Prescott was the heavyweight in that family, and they've kind of gotten, the herd has been thinning with every generation. But Prescott Bush was apparently a brilliant, ruthless guy, and it's quite a dynamic that you're shown with, well, okay, and this is Brotherhood of the Bell, any house you want in this area of San Francisco, I mean, you know, they begin to list the shopping list that makes everyone drool. Prestige, popularity, a huge bank account, houses in different countries, servants, on and on you go. And it's like the oldest story in the world of doing a deal with the devil. But the devil is iterated so far away, they don't see the connection. But they sell out. And let me just say one thing as the music's playing. Always in these things, and this is the point with Brotherhood of the Bell, you're called upon to do the favor that you swore you'd do when they ask you to do it. Remember that.
Well, let's get your webpage out, your telephone number out one more time.
Yeah, 510-540-0300. That's the phone number. www.scp-inc.org.
One more time for the webpage.
Yeah, www.scpsamcatpeter-inc, that means for incorporated, INC, .org.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the last 3 minutes. Tal, so you go ahead, and you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I mean, as we were saying today, and we've had many, many programs together, but each one is different. And my feeling today is that this is an unstoppable, the momentum of what's happening now and the brazenness of it, apart from an act of God, looks to be unstoppable in the climate of change, in the speed of change is increasing. And there are many indicators of this, whether it's the numbing of the conscience of kids and what's happening to the youth of today, and they've been greatly degraded compared to the era of the McGuffey reader, where a kid would actually blush for saying a lie. You're not going to get that out of this generation. And there are many levels of, we could call it, falling away right now, from the obvious denominational fallings away that, of which none of them give any heed to the Bible, to the moral falling away, to the divorce rate and abortions in the American family, the rising of homosexuality. But a key thing now, these have been going on, but historically, certainly for America, the Patriot Act, where cherished freedoms are being shredded in the shredder by a president who apparently swears in the back room and who gives no heed to the Constitution and who has no fear of breaking any of the rules to listen in on you or to we have a despot in the making. We have someone who, it probably won't happen, but who could be a tyrant and even jokes about it. We have corrupt politicians filling the Capitol at a saturation point never seen in the history of this country. I mean, presidential elections, runoff contests for ghouls at a big dinner where vampires are sort of running against each other. It's a very sobering vision, and I think the man on the street feels fully. And of course, our national debt is going up. We're interfering with sovereign nations, with wars that are bringing in terrible results. Well, you get the point.
Well, I think we're out of time, Tal. I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, sure.
Our guest has been Tal Brook from the Spiritual Counterfeits Project. Let me recommend his material, and we'll tell you in just a moment or two how to get his books. You'll want to read the two that we carry. One is The Avatar of Night, and of course the other is One World. Thanks very much, Tal.
Okay, and I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Tal Brook, one of the most provocative people we know. And we carry both of his books, The One World. Originally, it was known as When the World Will Be as One. It sold well over 150,000 copies. It's been updated and certainly advanced and brought right up to date. And that's One World, and his other book is The Avatar of Night. His experience as the sorcerer's apprentice is the number two man behind Sai Baba in India, and you need to have an understanding of what he has to say, because, of course, he came from a liberal point of view, from a point of view of using LSD and other drugs, mind-expanding drugs, to try to have that spiritual experience and find himself to a return to the simple faith of our Lord, Christianity. And I will tell you, Tal is one of the smartest people. His publications, the Spiritual Counterfeit Project publications, are really as fine a publication as you can find in the country. They're very intellectual. He has some of the finest and most well-educated people in this nation working with him, and we're certainly proud to have him on our guest as a regular guest here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is the time, of course, we need to remind our leaders that our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there and you'd like to help us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. You can join the Radio Liberty family for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, whatever you can really afford, and you'll get our four best tapes of the month or CDs. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day on about 60 different stations at least one time a week and sometimes every single day. And trying to educate people as to what's really going on. We have a unique opportunity, and, well, if you can help us, we'll appreciate it. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We'll give you basically the same story. We have three pamphlets. They're called The Occult Hierarchy. There is an occult hierarchy or a spiritual hierarchy that rules the world from behind the scenes from the other dimension. And we simply quote what they actually say. So we do hope that many of you will want to get the pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. That's the occult hierarchy. And then, of course, we would recommend Ted Flynn's excellent book, The Hope of the Wicked. It's really like the Brotherhood of Darkness, is only much more extensive. It will take you into many of the leading occultists of modern times, like Aleister Crowley, and how he was a third degree Mason for 12 years before he was asked to go into the upper echelons of the Luciferian conspiracy. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a Luciferian conspiracy. It's not imaginary. It's very real. There is another spiritual dimension. And, of course, many people, knowingly or unknowingly, serve the Prince of Darkness. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free copy of our main newsletter, we'll explain to you the immigration problem, where America is heading as far as the unbridled immigration, which is actively being encouraged to destroy this nation, and, of course, the spiritual forces behind that. And I think you'll be fascinated by the May newsletter, but certainly our March and April newsletter dealt with President Bush's inaugural speeches in 2001 and 2005, and the secret coded messages there. And you can actually pick those up on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com. Now, you can listen to our programs on the Internet 5 hours a day on the American Freedom Network, the Genesis Network, Radio Liberty's own network, on Republic Network, rbnlive.com. And we hope that you'll tell other people to suggest that they listen to our programs and help us to get the information out that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on an ideological, cultural, and battlefield. So please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and our protection, and we'll be back here in just a moment or two for the next hour of our program. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, the illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today we have with us Don McElveny from the McElveny Intelligence Advisor, which we read on a regular basis and always with anticipation. And, Don, how long have you been putting out that newsletter?
Oh, gosh, Dr. Stan, I think since 1976. I guess that makes it 30 years.
Okay, fine. Well, it's a constant source of great information, and it comes on a monthly basis, and it's sometimes 24, 30 pages. A lot of great information there, but Donna tries to keep us abreast of all the things that are happening on every front. And so what are we going to discuss this evening? What is the issue you'd like to bring before our listeners?
Everything.
All right, fine. Well, you go for it then.
let's just talk about everything. There's so many things going on. There's so many potential crises and things that where do you start? You can start in the world of oil. You can start in the Middle East. You can start with China. You can start with the North American Union. There's a lot of challenges that that the world and Americans are facing over the next few years. And unfortunately, most Americans don't have a clue. They're clueless as to what they're facing on the economic front, the financial front, where I think we're moving towards major crises, on the political front, where we've got a government and an establishment that wants to put us into something called the North American Union. I think there's a major deterioration over in the Middle East. And China is going to take over the world in the next 15 years. So take your pick. I mean, the crises are very large, and all I can say is I survey the world. I smile and say, well, I'm sure glad my God is still in control.
Amen to that. Well, that's the only thing I think that's really going to get us through what really lies ahead. And although we talk about the problems, we always try to get back to the fact that the only solution, of course, will be our faith in God, because we can make all the preparations we want to, and we should. And we should, make the standard preparations, but understand that in the final analysis, we may lose it all. And it is only our faith in the Lord that's going to get us through. So pick up the story. Where will we begin?
Well, I think economically speaking, we're much more fragile than most people think. The government is certainly lying about all statistics. How can you tell when government officials are lying about the economy when they open their mouths? They would tell us that inflation is more like 3 or 4%. It's more like 8 or 10%. They would tell us that unemployment is more like 4.5%. It's more like 12%. They would tell us that economic growth is 5.5 to 6%. It's more like 0%. And you could go on and on. I mean, they fudge on virtually all the numbers and all the statistics. So the average American looks at the economy and says, well, it's pretty healthy. I mean, look, Wall Street's doing okay. It's not plunging. It's just kind of going sideways. And the Fed and the government tells us everything is fine. Well, they're not telling us the truth. It's like a patient that's got terminal illness, and you keep telling him he's never looked better. And he walks out thinking, well, gee, maybe I don't feel as bad as I thought I could. In reality, he still has the terminal illness. Our country's run up over $50 trillion in debt. Our dollar is extremely vulnerable now. People all over the world who are holding trillions of dollars outside this country don't want to keep holding them anymore. And so they're diversifying out of dollars, and the dollar will cease to be the world's reserve currency, and that's going to have implications, large, convulsive implications for America. And so I think economically speaking, we're moving into some very, very troubled waters. I think we will have recession. I think ultimately this will be a depression, but I think it will be an inflationary depression.
I agree with you, and of course I think that the housing market has peaked out, and I want to get your thoughts as soon as we get back on what's going to happen to housing. Most people think, gee, I've got all that money in my house, but do they really? Well, our guest this evening, Don McElhenney of the McElhenney Intelligence Advisor. And of course, one of the big things is the housing bubble. Certainly, people have seen the value of their house appreciate. It's been the most remarkable thing. I mean, houses that were, you know, bought for, you know, perhaps, so you know, $10,000, you know, 30 years ago are worth close to $100,000 today. I mean, it's the most amazing appreciation in value. And so people feel very, very rich because their health is worth so much. But what's the truth about what's really happening with housing?
Well, Dr. Stan, every dog has its day. The day has been certainly strong for real estate over the last 20 years in this country. And so you've got a lot of people that think real estate only goes one way. It only goes up. Well, I guess people were thinking that about dot-com stocks and the Internet stocks before the market topped out, rolled over in March of 2000, and dropped $8 trillion. In fact, no market goes straight up, whether it's precious metals, whether it's real estate, whether it's gold and silver, you name it, stocks. All markets have cycles. If you go back and look at the middle 1980s, real estate began to top out down in the oil patch in Texas. This took down an awful lot of big people as real estate dropped over 50% in Texas. In Houston, Texas, in 1986 or 87, you could buy a $200,000 condo at auction for $20,000. I had an interesting experience. I was invited to come in and meet with a man named Clint Murchison, who was on his deathbed, and he used to own the Dallas Cowboys, America's football team. And Clint Murchison was worth $2.1 billion, and that was when a billion was still worth something. Kind of like a million used to be worth something. It's just kind of a cheap change now. For a lot of people, that's what their house or their garage is worth out in California. Well, this guy was worth $2.1 billion in 1980, and by 1986, he was broke. He was bankrupt. The courts were taking his $44,000 home from him a week after I visited with him in that home. And in fact, they were having a garage sale to sell off their silverware and their dining room, bedding, et cetera, et cetera. And people from his church were bringing them money. He had been highly leveraged in real estate. And real estate, when you're highly leveraged, is like playing commodities. You can put 5 or 10% down in a commodities contract, and if it goes up 5 or 10%, you just doubled your money and you think you're very clever. If it drops 5 or 10%, you just lost all your money. If it drops 10 or 15%, then you've lost your money and then some. Well, that's why people lose in commodities when they speculate in commodities, but that's what real estate looked like in the middle 1980s.
Hold that thought there, Don. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Don McElhenney. We're talking about the real estate market, and most people think that the real estate market goes one direction. They don't have a long enough memory how the real estate goes up. But then, by the law of gravity, it comes back down again. And Don was telling the most amazing story. I'd never heard of it, about Cliff Murchison, how he had actually, I mean, here was a fellow at one time was worth several billion dollars, and apparently on his deathbed, he was actually going to lose even the home he was living in, and people were having to bring the money. I mean, one of the most wealthy men, certainly a traditional oil baron in Texas, and really on the bridge of then poverty facing death?
And he actually died a very, very rich man because he became a Christian shortly before his death. So I would say that he lost what wasn't important and found what was the most important of all. So that was the good news. But this thing was not just him. I mean, remember John Connally, Secretary of Treasury?
Sure.
Under Ronald Reagan, he was the governor of Texas, popular governor of Texas. He went broke in that downturn. There were tens of thousands of speculators, investors, builders, developers that went under. Then it spread to Arizona. A bunch of friends go under down in Arizona. It spread to Southern California. It spread finally to the Northeast, the Southeast. It spread over most of the country. In many areas of Southern California, like Hollywood and Brentwood and Bel Air and so forth, real estate dropped 50%. Now, people in this country have such short memories, Dr. Stan, they can't remember that. I mean, 50%, now, imagine the people that are out there now. The leverage is 5 to 10 times greater in real estate today than it was then. You've got $8 trillion in real estate mortgages. I mean, you've just got this huge leverage out there in real estate today, much, much larger than then.
I was just in Brighton, Colorado 2 days ago. I don't know if you know where it is, just north of Denver.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they've got more houses built there, and they're still putting them up, and they're not selling them. There must be 1,000 or more homes there that have been sitting a year or two paying interest on them, and they can't get anybody to move into them to buy them. And somebody's going to just go down. It is like a big rock out in the middle of the ocean when, you know, when they finally cannot meet their payments to the banks, because banks aren't very nice. They lend you the money. They're glad to lend you the money, but you've got to put up the security. And, of course, when the day of reckoning comes, they take everything you have. That's the way the game is played.
Inventories are building in Florida. They're building in Denver, in the Denver area where Brighton is. They're building in Phoenix. They're building in Las Vegas. They're building in Southern California. That you haven't seen the crash yet. But look at the people that have 0% down, 5% down, 10% down. They're leveraged up to their eyeballs. Some people have got 120% leverage. they don't have any equity in their homes. All you need to do is have a small downtick in real estate prices, and this turns into a giant snowball. So what people saw in the 1980s and early 1990s in the four corners of the United States, I think is coming again. It was very interesting. I used to be a feature speaker at the International Association of Financial Planners in the early 1980s. They would have me in, and I would give a keynote address. And then after a couple of years, I started warning them about what was coming in real estate. Well, that was very unpopular. They disinvited me to speak, so I didn't speak anymore at their conferences. Before the 1980s were over, you had 30,000 financial planners in the United States. 75% of the financial planners in the United States who had loaded the boat with their clients and their own portfolios with real estate partnerships, 75% of the 30,000 financial planners went bankrupt. They went broke. They were completely broke. And they were counseling hundreds of thousands of other investors across the country what to do. That was the 1980s and 90s. It is going to happen again. It will be worse this time. The leverage is much, much greater this time. And people are much further in debt today than they were in the 1980s. So this panics the Fed. This is why the Fed is just barely easing interest rates up, and the Fed is scared to death that they may actually puncture this bubble. I think the bubble will puncture, and that may be what triggers the Great Depression in the United States.
I agree with you. I share your concerns that it's mainly because people have not studied economic history. This has happened time and time again. I mean, it happened in 1811. It happened in 1832. It happened, you know, in the mid-1800s, just before the Civil War. It happened in the 1870s and the 1890s and 1907. And then, of course, in 1929, you could just go on down the line. And it's like deja vu all over again. And the average individual honestly thinks that you can get rich by borrowing money and investing it, and it works fine during the early stages of the cycle. But when you get to the end of the cycle, it's like a game of musical chairs, and everybody's having a great time and dancing around that room as long as the music's playing, and they're spending money like it's going out of style. But when they cut off the money supply, is what they're doing, and raise the interest rates, and you're looking for money to pay your loans, and there's no money there, and the music stops. There's two chairs and there's 10 people dancing, and 8 people are out of the game. And I really fear most of the Americans, so many are going to lose everything they have.
You've got 65% of the American households have homes. A large percentage of those people are highly leveraged and have a lot of debt. Last year, 40% of the homes that were bought in the United States were second and third homes. That means they were bought for speculative purposes. So you've got Americans that have leveraged themselves up, and they don't believe, it's true, most Americans don't believe real estate can drop, because they either are too young to remember that, or they have no memory and can't remember the 80s and the early 90s. When this happens, there will be a snowball effect, and it will take down the stock market, it will take down the economy, and it will plunge America, I believe, into a recession, probably a depression. At that point, the Fed has no choice but to really run the printing presses. And whereas right now they are more than willing to create $1 to $2 trillion $1 to $2 trillion out of thin air. At that point, if things get bad enough, they'll create $3, $4, $5 trillion, whatever they need. Bernanke, they used to call him Helicopter Bernanke because he said, hey, remember, we got the printing presses, and if it gets bad enough, we'll use them. I think he'd like to take back those words, but the fact is, they really are using them. They really are printing money like there's no style, like it's going out of style. In this country, all over the world, other central banks are doing the same thing. And so I think what we're moving towards is an inflationary depression where the economy begins to contract tremendously. We already know we're losing millions and millions of jobs that are going over to China. Unemployment is around 12%. The government is lying when they say it's under 5%. And so we're losing our jobs. Our service jobs and our manufacturing jobs are going to India and going to China respectively. You've got a million, 1.6 million people went bankrupt last year. And in fact, in the last 10 years, you've had close to 15 million people go bankrupt. That's not a number the government likes to banter around. They're embarrassed about that number. That's a politically sensitive number. So this is what you've got going now in so-called normal times. When the snowball begins to build, when the dollar begins to get sold off in international markets, and that's coming, the Arabs, the Middle Eastern oil producers want to redenominate oil transactions in euros. I think that will happen. I think that'll happen in the next 12, 24 months. The dollar is going to go into a free fall. That's going to exacerbate this recession, depression in this country. The Fed has no choice. They run the printing presses like there's no tomorrow. I think there's potential that they could hyperinflate the economy.
Of course, but in the process, they'll destroy the value of the dollar. By so doing, they'll destroy the value of bank deposits and bonds and annuities and CDs and pension funds. They will wipe out the savings of an entire generation of people.
This is why gold and silver and commodities and oil are all rising rapidly. You know, you have times when the pendulum swings towards financial assets. Those would be paper assets like stocks and bonds and mortgages and so forth. And that can last for 10 or 15 or 20 years. The bull market in stocks was 20 years, and it was a good ride. Anybody who was in there probably made a lot of money in the stock market. So was the bull market in real estate. Real estate, by the way, is vulnerable when you have rising inflation, you have rising interest rates, and they always puncture the real estate bubble. Then the pendulum swings the other direction, and you move towards tangible assets. And on average, you've got about a 14 or 15 year tangible asset cycle. Some people would say it's as much as 20 years. Okay, but let's say it's 12, 14 years in tangible assets. Well, we're 5 years into the tangible asset cycle now. You've got commodity prices are skyrocketing, have been for 5 years. You've got oil prices, as you well know, in the mid 70s, skyrocketing. You've got gold and silver. Gold, before its recent correction, was up about 300%. You had silver before its recent correction up about 400%. Americans don't understand, and Americans are not the people who are primarily going into the commodities or who are primarily going into precious metals, because Americans are usually a day late and a dollar short because they believe what they're hearing in the financial press, or they hear what they're hearing from the Fed or from the government. But the Chinese and the people from India and the people in the Middle East and the people in Europe, in Latin America, the knowledgeable people and wealthy people, they see the handwriting on the wall. They see that the global financial deck of cards is about to come unglued, and they are going into commodities, they are going into oil futures, they are going into gold and silver and so forth. That's a trend that should last another 5 or 10 years.
And of course, the interesting thing is, if we were just America in the world, it wouldn't be such a factor, because the American people don't understand what's happening. But the Chinese certainly do, and the Japanese and the Indians, and they're going into tangibles. They don't believe in paper money. The American people will maintain their faith in paper money until the vast majority of them lose everything they've worked their whole life for. It's happened time and again throughout history, in ancient Athens, in Florence, in Venice, in ancient Rome. As somebody once said, there's nothing new under the sun. We'll be back in just a moment here with John McElvain. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Don McElhenney. And Don is saying that he really believes that there's going to be some serious, serious problems as far as our economy is concerned, and it's going to last for a fair length of time. And he points out that we're moving our factories or moving our jobs overseas. That really doesn't make any sense, Don. Why should there be an organized, orchestrated effort on the part of the people who run America to shift America's manufacturing and America's jobs to other countries? It is productive jobs in manufacturing that is the basis of the wealth of a great nation.
They don't want this. The what I call the liberal Eastern establishment or the globalist establishment or whatever. They don't want us to be a great and all-powerful nation. They don't want us to be the lone superpower in the world. They want to reduce us to the level of the other players, Russia, China, the European bloc, perhaps Latin America and so forth. They visualize around five major blocs in the world. And Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski, who were two of the major people behind the Trilateral Commission in the early 1970s with Abel Harriman and David Rockefeller and so forth, they talked very openly about the fact that if we were going to have world government, that America had to become more equal with these other power blocks, and therefore America had to be brought down, America had to be reduced in power. Now, how do you do that? Well, you can debauch its currency and eventually wreck its currency, and that will weaken the economy. But that's a long-term process. But there are two other ways you can do that. We could probably touch on these for hours, but very quickly, the first is China. When Richard Nixon went over to China, and the Bushes and the Kissingers and so forth, were over in China, opening up China, there were a few of us who worried, where is this going to go? China's really not our friend. They're still a communist country. I think even the most pessimistic of my friends didn't see how huge this was going to be. The reality, Dr. Stan, is that China is going to emerge in the next 10 or 15 years as the world's superpower, and they will pass the United States. And India will be close behind or right alongside of China. The baton, if you will, in the 1800s, Britain ruled the waves. England ruled the waves, and there was no doubt about it. They were the financial power, the industrial power. They were the military power. Then in the last century, in the 19th century, that baton got handed off to America, and for almost 100 years, America ruled the waves, and America was the dominant power. And you have these major quantum swings in history, and there's usually people manipulating, doing some things behind the scenes, and that's the case this time as well. Now the baton is being passed from America to Asia, and in particular China and India. Now, by putting us on, quote-unquote, as they told us over the last 20 years, an equal playing field, a level playing field with China, how do you be on a level playing field with people when your wage structure is $20 an hour and theirs is 50 cents or 30 cents or 75 cents an hour? You can't compete with them. They will ultimately steal all your jobs. And your manufacturing plants, when you start competing with them on a quote-unquote a level playing field, your manufacturing plants will shut down and they'll move to China.
Oh, we want you to hold that thought for just a minute, Don, because I think it's so very important for people to understand that what is happening is not happening by accident. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Don is basically saying that there is a plan, and he comments that people like Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski have felt that we needed to level the playing field. We needed to bring everybody down to the same level, or up to the same level, as it were. And Don asks, how can you have America competing with China when our jobs pay $20 an hour, theirs pay 50 cents an hour? And it is his thesis, and I agree with him totally, that the plan is to transfer the major manufacturing from the United States, and we are, of course, the great engine of modern-day production, to transfer from the United States to China and, to a lesser extent, to India. And none of this makes sense if you look at it logically, and yet that's exactly what's happening. So you pick up the story there, Don.
Well, clearly, America is to be weakened. Clearly, America if not pushed to a third world status, will look a lot more like, say, in Italy over the next 10 or 20 years than America, the superpower that we've gotten so used to. Our jobs are going. Our factories are closing. God help us when we finally get into World War III with China, and China is planning to go to war with us. They're not ready for that now. They want to see us continue to weaken ourselves economically, financially, politically, culturally, in every other way. And as they go stronger, we go weaker. So, hey, they're patient. They'll wait, I think, 10 to 15 years. But let's say in 10 to 15 years that China, which will be and is today in alliance with Russia and is in alliance with radical Islam, it's called the New Axis as opposed to the Old Axis, which was Germany and Japan. Let's say that China and the New Axis decide that they want to take on the United States. Fine. We try to rearm. Let's say it's 1941, and we've just been attacked at Pearl Harbor. And all of our manufacturing plants, as we're kind of trying to build up for this war now, all our manufacturing plants are located in Japan or Germany. Woo, that would have been a big problem. We would have lost the war. Well, our manufacturing plants are going to be located in China, and they're going to be located in Vietnam, and they're going to be located in Asia, in the heartland of the countries that are building up to finally try to destroy America. So we're very vulnerable in that respect. But the powers that be in our country, they wanted to weaken the United States. They wanted to push us down to third world status. And certainly opening this China, playing the China card, it has been a major way. But there's a second way. There's a second way, and that is to open up our borders and flood us with tens of millions of illegals who will come in and dilute our economy, put pressure on our welfare and our social structure, who will come in and make total foreign enclaves within our major cities all over this country where there's no English spoken, but they demand that we speak their language and that they can be on welfare and they can be on Social Security, et cetera, et cetera. And so the idea of taking immigration and throwing over the borders was, in my opinion, the second diabolical plank in this plan to lower America. So this is exactly what's happening. This immigration bill and this whole immigration thing that's taking place right now is not what the American people think at all. It's not about having a comprehensive immigration reform. It is about totally opening up the U.S. border with Canada and Mexico, and Mexico is the bigger problem. It is totally eliminating that border. It is totally allowing people to come in by the tens or the twenties of millions. They will have total free passage into the United States. And as Ann Coulter said in one of her articles, very well said a couple of weeks ago, she said, America will cease to be America. When nobody speaks our language, believes in our culture, understands our history, thinks like Americans, and they send their, and when they earn money, they send it all back to their country in Mexico or Central America or whatever. At what point does America cease to be America?
But then why are we doing this? This doesn't make sense, Tom.
It does make a lot of sense from the point of view of the establishment who wants global government.
And I think that, of course, is the common denominator. We have people there in positions of power who have a different world vision. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. They want world government. Now, the idea of world government goes back to the Illuminati, you know, probably well over 1,000 years ago. So it's not a new idea. But for most of us, it seemed like it's far-fetched, and it's something that the far left and the real radical fringe has wanted, but surely they would never be able to put it together. But then it got real clever, and they came up with a plan, which was the trilateral plan, where you'd have three major regions. One would be Europe, one would be the North American community, and one would be an Asian community, and that out of those three regional governments, which would subjugate then the sovereignty of the countries within those regional governments, out of that would emerge a world government a few years later.
So it's all going according to plan. This is
absolutely
the incredible thing, and there's probably not more than 1 in 100 Americans who have really grasped the significance of what's going on.
1 in 1,000.
maybe you're right. Maybe I'm overly optimistic. But anyway, of course, we're so immersed in, you know, who's going to, of course, win the World Cup this year, the Soccer Cup, who's going, of course, to win the Super Bowl. We'll be back in just a moment with Don McElhaney. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Don McElhenney. And just a couple of minutes when all of our stations are back on board, we'll try to get hold of Don and find out about the amazing newsletter that he's written for 30 years now and about the other things that they offer. But right now, I think it's so important to recognize that what he's saying is absolutely right. It is not that the American people would willingly give up their sovereignty, but there was a group that works at the leadership of both political parties that dominates the financial aspects of our country and the corporate aspects and works through a myriad of organizations that have a different world vision. And that world vision is to impoverish the American people and, as I love to say, to raise the living standards of the average American to that of the Bolivian peasant. And people say, no, they live at a low level. And I said, that's exactly right. They're going to impoverish the American people. And you can see this thing coming. It's just like a freight train roaring down the tracks. And so many people are totally oblivious that the utopian world in which we live is soon going to come to an end and become simply a remembrance of things past.
Well, and you know, Dr. Stan, this is not this impoverishment that we both see and believe in, and other people in the remnant see as well. It's not 20 years away. It could be a lot closer than anybody realizes, because when the speculative bubble, the financial bubble in this country, this huge $50 trillion debt bubble, this magnostrophic real estate bubble, and this just over leverage of the American people, when this thing finally is punctured, just as the dot-com bubble was punctured in late 99, in early 2000, and dropped $8 trillion, when that happens, the air will go out of this balloon much, much faster than anybody realizes, and all the king's horses and the king's men and Ben Bernanke and the Fed will not be able to print money fast enough to fill the crack. It's kind of like the San Andreas fault begins to open up, and it's opened up an inch, and then it opens up a foot, and they start bringing in dump trucks full of cash to try to fill it up. Before you know it, it's opened up 10 feet, and they're bringing in hundreds and thousands of dump trucks, and now it's opened up 50 feet. And, you know, that's what's going to happen. The deflationary cracks that are going to spread throughout this system over the next few years, when this thing finally does hit, and nobody knows when it's going to hit. It could hit in the next 2 weeks, the next 2 months, the next 2 years, the next 5 years, but it is going to hit. When that happens, the air will go out of this balloon so fast you won't believe it, and then America is not going to have the ability to recover. Our jobs and our manufacturing is being shipped out of the country.
And hold that thought for just a moment, Don. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Don says what I really believe, and that is that we don't know how soon it's going to come, but there's going to be a tremendous, first of all, inflationary and then a deflationary cycle, and of course so many people are going to end up losing everything they have, because, you know, it says in the second of the 22nd Proverbs that the borrower is the servant of the lender. The borrower is the servant of the lender. You should not be borrowing. If you're borrowing now, very soon you may be serving someone else. Well, Don, before we go on, why don't you give our listeners your website, your telephone number, so people would know how to get in touch with you and if they'd like to get your excellent newsletter or any more information that you have available.
Yeah, we've got a special report on the economy and the financial system we did a couple months ago, and also I've got a report that I just came out with on the escalating immigration disaster and where that's going. And if people would like to get free copies of the newsletter, they can call us at 1-800-525-9556. That's 1-800-525-9556. There may be somebody at the phones now. If not, surely there will be in the morning. Or you can go to McElhenney.com. That's M-C, M as in mother, M-C-A-L, V as in Victoria, A-N-Y, McElhenney.com, and you can get a lot of information. In the report that we said we would send out, and they're free, of course we'd love to see people like the information and want to get it, but in the report we try to give people some ideas as to how to get out of harm's way. All is not bleak for people Proverbs 27:12 says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. The prudent, I think, are the wise ones who will have some discernment and he do understand the times, and probably are being directed, you know, by the God of the Bible. And the ones who don't see it coming are the not so wise ones, the simple ones, and I think they'll get wiped out. And I think you'll see tens and twenties and thirties and millions of Americans go broke. It's not necessary. They can get out of debt. We will give them advice as how to get out of debt, how to become more liquid, because liquidity will be very, very important. It's the antithesis of the real estate market today. You need to be very, very careful about the stock market and be out of the stock market, I would say, by and large, completely, except maybe for some gold stocks, some energy stocks, maybe some natural resources stocks. You definitely want to be in precious metals. I think if possible, you want to own maybe some other currencies, because the dollar will become terminal in the next few years. There's some constructive things you can do to kind of trim down the fighting weight, keep your powder dry, and survive. I understand that 99% of the people in the country won't do those things.
Well, no, because I had a fellow this last weekend ask me, how do you invest in another country? How do you get your money into foreign currencies? How do you go about doing that safely? And, of course, if you have a foreign bank account, why are you required by the government to report on that?
There are some very safe and legal ways to buy CDs and government bonds that are denominated in foreign currencies. They're legal, they're safe, they're in other currencies. You can do it in the United States. You can have money outside the United States. It's not illegal to take money outside the United States. It is not illegal to take money outside the United States. You can own precious metals outside the United States. There are still some very good ways to do these things. We write about some of these in our newsletters. So for people who want to diversify outside the country, I talked to a guy today, and he's got almost 100% of his assets in real estate. And he's really done well in real estate. I mean, I can't fault him. I mean, he's made a lot of money in real estate. But he's very concerned about where things are going. And I said, look, at the very least, you should have a maximum of a third of your assets in real estate. I'd say 25%, I think, would probably be my max. I would have about a third in precious metals, gold and silver coins. I would have about a third in just something like treasury bills or foreign government treasury bills that are denominated in another currency. I would keep about two-thirds of my assets very, very liquid. But I haven't sold my home. I'm not telling everybody to go out and sell their homes. But I don't have any debt on my home either, so I don't care if my home goes up or down. I bought it because I'm going to live in it for the next 40 years. But for people who are loaded to their eyeballs with real estate, and I know those people in our listening audience tonight that have got 60, 70, 80, 90% of their assets, of their net worth in real estate, I will tell you, it's like standing on a railroad track with the limited coming down the track at 100 miles an hour, and I think they're going to get blasted.
What about commercial real estate? What about office spaces that you have rented out? Is that a good investment or not?
I think it depends on where you are. I think it depends on a lot of things, but I would say in general, I would rather not have a lot of commercial real estate properties right now. I think apartment buildings, where rents are so much cheaper than owning, and so many more people are going to be forced to rent than own. Apartment buildings might be okay, but commercial properies, Dr. Stan, I travel a lot of parts of the country. You see so many businesses that are closing down and boarding up, and in lots of different parts of the country. Retail business is not strong right now. Retail business is very flat. Some parts of the country, it's a disaster. And I think you're going to see a lot of businesses, small businesses and medium-sized businesses, folding. If Kmart, for gosh sakes, could go bankrupt a couple of years ago, if General Motors could be on the verge of bankruptcy, and I'm telling you they are, if the top four airlines in the United States could be in bankruptcy as we speak, and they are, with American maybe not so far behind, that would be the top five in bankruptcy, then you just got to reckon that a lot of smaller businesses, when the economic slowdown hits, or as it accelerates, because I think it's hitting right now, a lot of them are going to be shuttering or downsizing or whatever. That means a lot less real estate, commercial real estate, is going to be needed. I think if I was very heavy in commercial real estate, I would really, really be lightening up right now.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Roger, who's calling us from Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, if you please, gentlemen. Could you tell me, and I'm really speaking out of my ignorance here, because I hadn't heard anyone else really address this so explicitly, but am I correct in guessing that there's already been a substantial contraction in willingness of foreigners to buy or T-bills, and that has forced, as the only alternative, a more hyperinflation of the paper printing than would otherwise have been necessary?
All right, well, that's a fair question, and I think the major question is, are foreigners still buying our T-bills? And the corollary to that will be, how much longer will foreigners continue buying our T-bills? Do you have any thoughts on that, Don?
Absolutely, and it's an excellent question, because it's a very important question. Foreigners have slowed down over the last year or so in buying our Treasury paper. The only way we've been able to float $500 billion deficits, trade deficits, and another $500 billion on the federal deficit side is by printing massive amounts of paper. In the 1970s, we sold a lot of that to the public. Two-thirds of it was sold to the public. One-third of it was bought by the Fed. They monetized it. And that caused a lot of the big inflation of the 1970s. Okay, the last 10 or 15 years, they've been able to finance these deficits by selling all this Treasury paper to foreigners, okay? And that's kept them from having to monetize very much, and so we've kind of gotten away with murder. Now foreigners are beginning to see the massive debt pyramid building up. They're very worried about the dollar. They've seen the dollar drop 35% in the last 5 or 6 years. And so foreigners are beginning to diversify out, and that includes China, that includes Russia, that includes a lot of your Middle East oil producers. And as they begin to diversify, pretty soon this is going to turn into a stampede. So the dollar is dropping. I travel a lot overseas. I spend a lot of time in Indonesia, where we're involved in some mission-type work. And we saw the Indonesian rupiah is not considered to be a premier classic currency of the world. I saw over the last year, I saw the rupiah appreciate, go up 14% against the U.S. dollar. Now, it's a really crummy third world currency. It still appreciated 14% against the U.S. dollar. The dollar is going to continue to drop as foreigners continue to sell out of more and more dollars and continue to buy less and less of our new Treasury offerings. That means the Fed is going to have to either sell more and more paper to the American people, which puts tremendous upward pressure on interest rates, which pushed interest rates over 18% in 1979 and 80, or they're going to have to monetize, buy that, and in effect they create the money out of thin air, and that's horrendously inflationary. So the same scenario that we had in the 1970s is now moving back into place, but the numbers are about 10 to 20 times larger, probably 50 times larger. So your caller's got an excellent point. Watch the dollar. As people begin to diversify out of the dollar, the Chinese have been talking about this a lot in the last few months. As they begin to diversify out of the U.S. dollar, more pressure on the dollar. Of course, that's great for gold and silver, but it's going to put a lot of pressure on, upward pressure on interest rates and upward pressure on inflation in the United States.
Well, you know, Don, I look upon the price of gold and silver like the canary in the mine shaft. You take the canary down with you, and when the canary drops over dead in the mine shaft, you want to get out of the mine shaft. And what I see what's happening to the price of gold and silver, you know, is it shot up, it shot down, and now, of course, it's coming back at a phenomenal rate. I never thought it would come back this rapidly. Obviously, I believe they're losing control. The internationalists are losing control of the price of these things, because I think people throughout the world, in India, who we can't control, in China, we can't control, and certainly in Indochina, and all throughout the world, even in Russia, why the Russian government is increasing its gold behind its currency, because it wants to have a stable currency, and it would appear that our leaders are intent upon destroying the very foundations of our currency. And without a solvent currency, you don't have a solvent a nation, you don't have a solvent society.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, one of the reasons we became the world superpower and grew so fast after the war was that Bretton Woods in 1944, the dollar, we were the big gorilla on the block. We won the war, and so we dictated the terms of the post-war monetary system, and that was Bretton Woods, and that set up the dollar as the U.S. reserves currency. Now, everything had to be denominated internationally in the dollar, including oil transactions and so forth, and that will change soon. I think within the next 2 years, oil transactions will be denominated in euros. But this gave us tremendous leverage. It gave us tremendous ability to print money ad infinitum, and so we accumulated a tremendous amount of power by being the world's reserve currency. That's going to stop, and I will bet you that within 5 years and more, probably 2 to 3 years, the dollar, I think, will stop being a world's reserve currency. It will shift temporarily to the euro, probably for about 10 years. It'll shift to the euro because the Russians would like to see it go that way. The Middle Easterners would like to see it go that way. The Chinese would like to see it go that way. So I think you will see the euro become the world's reserve currency, and America will be in second place. And then I think about 10 years from now, maybe 12, 14, then the renminbi, the Chinese currency, will become the world's reserve currency. And then you will see their power really explode.
Well, the thing, Don, if the dollar ceases to be the reserve currency of the world, all those dollars which are being held by central banks throughout the world and by private individuals are going to come flooding back in here, and you're going to see massive expansion of our monetary supply, which is the very basis upon which inflation develops.
That's more than inflation. Inflation is them running the printing presses and expanding the money supply 5, 6, 8, 10, 12% a year. It's them creating $1 trillion, $2 trillion out of thin air. What you just described, the scenario you just described, where trillions of dollars start to come back in the United States in an avalanche, that's not inflation. That's superinflation, and that's very possibly hyperinflation. At that point, we totally lose control. We'll lose our economy. And we'll lose probably our freedom in the midst of all that.
And that's when, of course, the average person out there who has not made preparations is going to find that everything they've put their whole life savings in, as far as monetary savings thinks it's going to give them security, are going to find they don't have any security. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Roger. And let's go to Bob calling from Tennessee. Bob, do you have a question for our guest?
Good show tonight. I appreciate you shouting at it. One of the questions I had for him is, and I do believe the scenario, some of the scenarios he's mentioned are very possible and probably probable, but we've always been one of the biggest producers, but also one of the biggest consumers in the world. We're slowly becoming less of a producer and more of a consumer. When our salaries are brought down to the level I believe they're trying to bring them down to, who's going to buy all this junk? Who's going to buy all the stuff at Walmart? Who's going to buy all the stuff that's being supplied out of the country?
All right, that's a good question, Donna. Bob wants to know, you know, as the living standards of the average American drops, and of course they plan to lower our wages and destroy our savings, who's going to be buying all the things here in America, or is the whole world going to go into a contracted economy?
I think the world will go into a recession, and maybe ultimately a depression. I think America will be the bigger we are, the harder we fall, they say. I think there was a caller's name, it was absolutely right. Americans are going to back off from buying. I think they are backing off from buying. I think you can see this in retail sales. I think you can see this in retail stock charts and so forth. Americans don't have as much money to buy now as they did 2 or 3 years ago. In another year or so, they're going to have less still. So that means that the Chinese imports in the United States are going to decline. China can offset some of this because they really are beginning, their economy and their billion people really are beginning to emerge. And so they will sell a lot more things internally. They will sell a lot more things in Asia. I think America's economy is going to be hit. I think retailers are going to be hit. I think Walmart is going to see an incredible contraction. I have a few problems with Walmart. They are the retail marketing arm for the Red Chinese. That's where Red China dumps all of its cheap products in the United States, and we good Americans, we run out and buy them because we can buy, and some of it's pretty good stuff, and we can buy it cheaper than we can buy American-made products.
Well, they do away with availability in a lot of small communities to buy it anywhere else because
exactly.
They move in. Your small businesses can't compete.
They run every mom and pop business out of town in my business.
I really feel, Bob, that we're going to see an entirely different America 10 years from now than we see it today. And I think that we're moving towards a two-class society, a very wealthy and then a very poor and a very, very small middle class. This is exactly what the way it is throughout most of the world. Certainly this is the way that it is in Mexico, and I believe Don is right. I think we're going to be merging with Mexico in more ways than one. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
One more question.
Okay.
From your guest. What can we do as a people to stop this and to turn it around?
All right, that's a good question. Why don't you get started there, Don? And if you don't finish it, why, we'll do it during the break. Go ahead. What can we do? What can we do now?
Well, clearly we need to elect people who believe in our Constitution, who believe in our traditional values, who believe in our way of life. And I'm not saying that's a Republican or Democrat, because I think we got a lot of jerks in both parties. We need to find politicians that really stand for what America always stood for. And there's a handful of them back in Congress now, but let me tell you something, they're a very, very small minority. But there's people out there who really do care. We could put some good people back there if we wanted to.
So hold that thought for just a moment, Don, if we're going to have to just go to our last break here. Well, Don, why don't you go ahead and pick up the rest of the story?
I think we all need to get more involved in the political process. We can do that on a local level and on a county level, on a regional level, state level, and so forth. I think that all that's necessary for evil to triumph is that good men do nothing, Edmund Burke said, and that's very, very true. So I think more political involvement is certainly in order. Now, with that said, I will say I'm not real optimistic that most people will do that. I think your kind of listeners, I think the kinds of guys that are calling in tonight. Yeah, I mean, they're thinking people, which is a tiny minority now. We've all been dumbed down by the educational system and the media. But there's a small remnant of thinking people left in the United States. Are they enough to turn the tide? I don't think the tide will turn in this country until this country feels a lot of pain. Until the people feel a lot of pain, I hope that's not from a socialist government with their boot on our necks, but certainly economic pain at the very least. I don't think people are going to go back to their traditional values. So I think there's pain in our future, and I don't think there's a simple way out of it, although I think we should make our efforts politically here and where we can. I think for those who understand the times, we need to take some defensive actions to protect our families, to protect our finances, to protect our jobs as much as we can, or find second jobs or home-based business or something like that. I think there are some personal things we can do. But I'm a little pessimistic that things are not going to get a lot worse before they get better. I think from some low point where things are really, really ugly, then I think perhaps, and some of the rascals who are in power now get thrown out, then perhaps we can have some good people emerge. So I think there's going to be some major challenges. I would just say, I know we're running low on time, but don't leave God out of the equation. I personally need God's wisdom, guidance, and direction on what to do every day, whether it's with my finances, whether it's my family, or whatever. And I think if enough people would turn back to God, we forget we became the greatest nation in the history of the world because God was with us and we were following Him and we were following His ways and obeying His principles. And it was working. Everything was working. Then the liberals came in and took over. We forgot God. And as a country, we've kind of forgotten God. And until we get back to God, I think we're going to continue this decline. So I can't take my country back, but personally I can, and enough people personally do that, I think that can make a difference.
Amen to that. I think that's very well said. Bob, I hope that answers your question. But this is a spiritual battle being fought on a political and financial battlefield. Until we recognize that this is a spiritual battle, nothing's going to change. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Bob.
I appreciate your gentleman's effort.
Good night. God bless. And thank you so very much for being with us, Don. And we're going to just be back in just a moment. I want you to get your number out. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest has been Don McElvaney. And I just want you to get your website and your telephone number out one more time.
Okay. It's either McElvaney.com if you want to go to our website. That's McElvaney.com. You can get a lot of information. You can find out how to order things off of our website and the newsletters and so forth. Or if you'll call our 800 number, we'll send out a couple of free copies of the newsletter that covers some of the things in depth that Dr. Stan and I have talked about tonight. And that's 1-800-525-9556. That's 1-800-525-9556. really like to get you get some of our information. I think it would be useful. Like Dr. Stan, we try and have for many, many years, like Dr. Stan, to be watchmen on the wall to help people understand the times and to help them prepare for it. So we've got our newsletters. We've got a lot of good information there, and we'd be glad to send you out some if you give us a call. So that's 800-525-9556.
God bless and thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good night. All right, fine. Well, that was Don McElvanian, certainly a good friend and certainly a man who's been standing on the wall trying to warn people for a long period of time. Now, of course, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And we really depend on those of you who listen to our programs to help us. We're on about 60 outlets every week, shortwave internet. We've got, three or four internets and a couple of three different shortwave frequencies. But believe me, it's an expensive proposition. And quite frankly, we could use your help, especially at this time, because I think a lot of people are really beginning to feel the pain of what's happening economically, and I think it's going to get a lot worse. And if we want to maintain our foundation and our voice, we're going to have to depend on those of you out there who believe, as I do, that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a financial and educational and political and cultural and a battlefield, ideological battlefield. And there really are spiritual forces out there that are intent upon destroying this country. And they are working through some of the most powerful men in this country who've gone over to the dark side, because there is another dimension. And you only have to, as I have, get a letter from a witch who told me that, that she was a good person. She was a white witch. And, of course, she did her rituals, and she did her incantations. And everything she did was simply to be able to contact beings from the other dimension. There are beings from another dimension, and those of you who have not read our pamphlet, it's called The Occult Hierarchy. There are three of them that come in a set. They're very inexpensive, but they will give you a real insight into the other dimension, into the spiritual battle that's going on, because you can't understand anything unless you know. They're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Now, there's a very real question whether it will survive. Christianity will survive, certainly. But will America survive? Does America deserve to survive? Well, my job is to be out in the front lines notifying people and warning people. Your job is to do the same thing, but you have to have the information, so we'll provide it. Certainly my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is one of the best sources of information you're going to find. We have so many wonderful tape sets on the supernatural, on what happened on 9-1-1. Almost anything you want to know about. What really happened with O.J. Simpson? We have a four-tape set. Where is the Ark of the Covenant, and where is the Noah's Ark? We have a four-tape set of interview with Ron Wyatt from another time, a man who claimed that he actually had located the Ark of the Covenant. And, of course, an amazing series of interviews. Many of the people we've interviewed have long since passed away, but we have these recorded. They're available for you. If you'd like to get a free catalog or a free newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we do help to subsidize what we do by selling the Berkey products, Big Berkey, Berkey Light, the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, excellent homeschool curriculum, Sanji and Radios, Miracle Tooth products, but primarily our tape sets, our videos, and the books we carry, all available at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. You can go there and look at our website, listen to our programs, tell other people about it, encourage them to listen to us on the Internet, and then pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty.